One night while on life's raging sea, it looked as if I would suffer defeat. As the blackness of night closed off the light, my heart sank with fear. My desperate cry rang out with fright. All I could see was no hope in sight. With faith all but gone, I met the one who came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near. He lifted my soul and calmed all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I'd drifted so far. I'm sorry, can we start that? Satan had already picked out my grave. His plan had moved forward to put me away. I drifted so far, would anyone care that I'd soon be lost? I knew my destruction was a matter of time, but Jesus stepped in and said, "This one is mine." Now I'm safe with no harm, 'cause he walked through the storm and came looking for me. He came looking for me. He came looking for me. He made a way when there was no way that I could see. When I drifted far, Jesus was near. He lifted my heart and calmed all my fears. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me. Now I'm safe from all harm since I met the one who came looking for me.
All right, wonderful. Thank you, Brother Ingram. God bless you. You know, you didn't go looking for him. He's been looking for you. See, I didn't know what love was until he loved me, and I found out what the love of God was. Now I know how to love. You see, God's looking for somebody this morning. Yeah, he's looking for somebody to separate into special service. He's looking for somebody to save that'll be willing to trust Christ this morning. Yeah, he's looking for somebody in this service. Well, may I say to Trinity Baptist Church this morning, happy 39th anniversary to our church. And this is, we are celebrating today the 39th anniversary of Trinity Baptist. Immediately following the service tonight, we're going to have a little reception just for those that are here. If you're a guest of our church, you'd like to be back tonight, you're welcome to be a part of that. 39 years this church has been a part of the community of Arlington, Texas. Now, I just want to say real quick, and I'll talk a little bit more about this tonight. It may make this, the church may not mean as much to you, but it means a lot to me. Because if this church didn't believe in soul winning, I may not even be here today. Because I was contacted 20-some-odd years ago, 1984, whatever that is, 27 years ago, by soul winners. Coming by my house, knocking on the door, just wanting to know, do you know that you've been born again? It took them quite a while to convince me that I needed to be saved. I didn't get saved at the door, but I did get saved on December the 2nd, 1984. Walked down the aisle right there and got saved. So you say, does this church mean something to you? Yes, it certainly does. And the reason being is because there was a group of people of God at that time that loved souls, that had a desire to win souls. And let me tell you something, Trinity Baptist Church, as long as God allows me to be here, we're going to keep soul winning alive because I am a product of it. And listen, if you have not been doing your job going out, reaching some people, let me tell you something, there's more people out there just like me. They're everywhere. We just got to go find them. Listen, I wasn't looking for the church. People came looking for me. Boy, thank God. I wasn't trying to... Listen, for a while I ran, but I thought, man, this is crazy. Man, I need to get caught. You know, it's kind of like playing hide and seek for a while. After a while, you get tired and think, man, this is crazy. I'm just going to get caught. At least I can set out a while. You know? But it's going to be a great day. I hope that you'll be back tonight. Take your Bible, Exodus 33, if you would, please. Exodus chapter number 33. Read just two verses here. Not going to be able to read the whole story, but this is a place in Scripture where Moses has spoken with the Lord and has a great desire to see the Lord. Anybody in here have a great desire to see God? To see the Lord? And he had a great desire. Lord, we've talked. You've led me all this way. You've spoken to me out of a burning bush. You've spoken to me on Mount Sinai. You've spoken to me all this way. Can I just take a look at you? Can I just get a glimpse of you? Well, God didn't allow Moses to see his face, but I do want to show you two scriptures here, if I could please, that he did share with Moses during this time. Would you stand with me? Exodus 33, begin reading in verses 18 and verse 19 for the Message. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory, Moses speaks. And he said, God says, I will make all my goodness pass before thee. I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. I want you to notice this last statement. And will be gracious, and I want you to circle these two words, to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And I want to take that phrase, that last portion of verse number 19, where God says, I will be gracious to whom, and I will show mercy on whom. And I want to preach to you this morning on this subject, to whom it may concern. To whom it may concern. Father, would you bless our time together this morning, and as we open the Bible, Spirit of God, do your work. You promised that you teach, guide in the way of all truth. We pray that the spirit of the people is open this morning, that they might receive what you have. I pray when we leave today that our hearts would be stirred concerning the Word of God and concerning your will for our life. Use us in a great way. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen. You can be seated. I was asked not too long ago to write a letter of recommendation, just a few days ago, I should say. And when I was asked to write that letter, I asked the individual, I said, well, who do I need to address the letter to? And they said, well, preacher, it doesn't matter. Just put on there to whom it may concern. You see, that little phrase, that little salutation, to whom it may concern, is a formal salutation addressed to a general audience, but intended for the person who is involved with the message being sent. Though I wrote the letter to a general audience, it would eventually find its place to the person for which it was intended for that message to go forth. You see, that little salutation literally means to whom, in other words, a person or a group of people that it may concern, or in other words, to affect the interest of or to be of importance to. You see, that letter that I sent was going to affect someone, and it was important to someone. It had to find the right place. Though we did not have a specific name, it just was addressed to whom, a person, a group that it will affect. And wherever this letter goes, it has a message attached to it. It literally means to the person in which the content of the message is important to or affects the interest of. That's what "to whom it may concern" means. Now, may I make just a simple spiritual application? God has taken His divine time and has addressed to us a letter that contains a particular message. But a message with multiple applications of life. You see, that letter that's given to us, we call the Bible. It's called the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God. And this letter is addressed to whom it may concern. To whom it may concern. To a person. To a group of people. Where it will be interested. And that it will be affecting your life. May I say to you that since I've been saved, the Word of God has affected me. May I say to you, it has now become very interested and interesting to me. You see, to not read the message or be ignorant of the message doesn't dismiss us from the responsibility of the message. You see, even though I wrote the letter to whom it may concern, what good is it going to be if it's ignored? But it doesn't negate the responsibility of the message. You see, God's letter and message will take effect on every human being on planet Earth. It will affect every single one of us, and this is why He made statements in Scripture like this: "For God so loved the world." You know what He was saying? To whom it may concern. Because there are people that need the message. They need the message. And not reading the message or being ignorant of the message does not negate our responsibility to the message. God has addressed it to whom it may concern. Now, since God's letter is quite lengthy, right? If I had to start from Genesis 1:1, preach through the book of the Revelation today, by the time I got done, there wouldn't be nobody here. Why? Pretty lengthy letter, isn't it? May I say to you that when you get a letter through the mail, many times it's a rule of thumb that you don't write 16 pages, I'm talking about from a business aspect, to people, because most people won't read it. You have to keep your letter condensed. It has to be to the point. And since the letter of God is quite lengthy, I'm going to condense it for us this morning, all right? And I'm going to condense it for us this morning and simply say that the Word of God is to whom it may concern. To whosoever this morning, if you listen, the message of God has something for you. But since it is quite lengthy and contains multiple applications for life, both now and later, then I've got to generalize the message in an attempt to relay the content. All right? Now, may I say to you, first of all, this morning, that what we hold in our hand, called the Word of God, is a letter of redemption. It's a letter of redemption to whom it may concern. It's a letter of redemption. Would you take your Bible with me this morning and look, if you would, in Romans chapter 4 and verse number 8. Look at Romans 4 and verse number 8. Romans 4, verse number 8. The Scripture says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." You say, so what does that mean, preacher? That means blessed is the man that has accepted the letter and read the letter of redemption and has applied it to their life. Look in Titus chapter 2, if you would, please. Go to Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14. All right, Titus 2, verse 14. I tell you, look at verse 13. "Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might," does your Bible say, "redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So I'm here to tell you today, as a mouthpiece of the Lord, that what you hold in your hand today is a letter to whom it may concern. It's a letter of redemption. This letter contains and explains the fall of man. It explains how we got in the condition that we're in today. It also explains and helps us to see the awfulness of sin. Sin is ugly, and it can be ugly, and it doesn't treat us very well. Sin destroys. Sin messes lives up. Sin destroys families. It destroys marriages. It destroys children. It's awful. But you know how I found out about that? In the letter. I found out in the letter. Because the letter of redemption explains to me how we got this way, the fall of man. It explains to me the awfulness of sin. Oh, look at this now. It also points out who the enemy is. Look around, folks. You're not the enemy. You say, but that brother across the other side of the auditorium offended. He's not the enemy, though. You see, if you'd read the letter, you'd know who the enemy is. But see, sometimes we think the enemy is each other. And it's not. How do I know that? Because the letter told me who the enemy is. It explained to me what the fall of man, how we got in the condition that we're in according to Genesis chapter 3. It revealed the awfulness of sin. And boy, I'm telling you, it didn't take long for sin to rear its ugly head in Cain. He took his own brother's life. Ugly. It points out who the enemy is. It's Satan. May I remind you, the enemy is Satan. And when we get that through our head and realize he's the enemy, then you'll know where to focus your wrath. Toward him. Not toward each other. Does Satan use people? Yes, he does. Did he use Eve? Yes, he did. But may I say to you this morning, the devil does use people. But I have in my hand a letter from God. It's a letter of redemption. It explains how we got this way. It explains the awfulness of sin. It points out who the enemy is and who's responsible for this. But may I say, it exposes the plan of God as well. It exposes the plan of God of how God is going to restore fellowship between God and man. You know how I found that out? Because I read a letter one day called the Bible, and it said, to whom it may concern. To whom it may concern. I found out that was me. I found out that this letter was written to a person, to a people. That person and that people happened to be me. That word redemption means to reclaim. It means to buy back. You see, the enemy got in the garden and stole the fellowship between God and man. Have you figured out that what God's trying to do? God's trying to restore relationship. He's trying to restore fellowship. Now, the thing about it is, he can only do that if you allow him to do that. It's your choice. Just like it's your choice to read the letter or not read the letter. It's your choice. That's the reason it's addressed to whom it may concern. Okay, whoever wants to make the application. But I will say this to you. Regardless of whether you make the application of redemption or not, the letter will still affect you. It will still affect you. Because one day, that letter will be opened. And we will be judged out of the things that are done in this body and out of the book. May I remind you that also the letter tells us that there came one from heaven in the fullness of time. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know where I got that from? I read the letter. The letter of redemption tells me, first of all, how I got in the condition that I am. It also tells me how terrible sin is, what the penalty of sin is. It's an eternity without God. I got that from the letter. It also tells me who the enemy is. But it also tells me that there's a plan that God has already got in motion now. It's already moving in motion to save that which was lost. Do you know the letter also said, P.S., The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know why? You know why in 2 Peter 3:9, you know why He says that all may come to repentance? Because it's to whom it may concern. To whom it may concern. May I ask you this morning, if you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, can I say that the letter is saying to whom it may concern for you? God's saying it will affect your life. You're going to show some interest in the Word of God. If you weren't interested about your soul, you wouldn't even be here today. You're here because there's some interest of soul. I just wanted to say it's a letter of redemption. May I say number two? It's a letter of recommendation. Yeah, it's a letter of redemption. It paints the picture of who we are, how we got this way, the awfulness of sin, who the enemy is, what the plan is. It's all drawn out for us. And it's to whom it may concern, which is us today. But it's also, God says, it's a letter of recommendation. Take your Bible, if you would, look at Luke chapter 9 for a moment. Look at Luke 9 and verse 35. Luke 9 and verse number 35. Luke 9, 35. Now, on a few occasions in Scripture, God spoke from heaven. We know that He spoke about Jesus at His baptism. Here we find Him speaking at the transfiguration of the Lord Jesus Christ before Peter, James, and John. And I want you to notice what He says in Luke 9:35. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is My beloved Son." What's the last words? Hear Him. You know what it is? He can't make you hear Him, but the recommendation is hear Him. Because you know what? When you hear Him, He's going to speak truth. When you hear Him, He's going to guide you in the way of all truth. So the recommendation, the letter of recommendation is hear Him. Hear Him. Listen to what He's saying. And you know, if you'll listen real close, if you listen real close, what you'll hear the Lord saying is, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Wait a minute, He didn't stop there though. He said, "No man cometh unto the Father but by Me." Now folks, I know this twists people off the wrong way, but I'm here to tell you, there's only one way of salvation. There's only one way. Jesus said, you're not going through the church to get it. You're not going through baptism to get it. You're not going through speaking in tongues to get it. You're not going through living a right lifestyle to get it. He said, you're going through Me to get it. God said, hear Him. Hear Him. It's the letter of recommendation. We're going to have to hear what Jesus is saying. May I remind you that Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. You mean nobody? I don't just mean nobody. I mean nothing else. Nothing else. He's willing to save anyone, but neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. Why? Letter of recommendation. Hear ye Him. Hear Him. Listen to what He's saying. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. None other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. So you know what we better do? Hear Him. Hear Him. It's a letter of recommendation. May I remind you that in order for a person, or when a person, I should say, comes to Jesus Christ, that He's saying, you know what, if you'll come to Jesus, if you'll accept Jesus Christ, then what He has in store for you is the same thing that He told the disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. You say, how do I get in on that promise? Letter of recommendation, Jesus Christ. That's how you get in on the promise. That's how you make it to heaven. Why? Because a letter of recommendation says it's Jesus and only Jesus. But may I also say, if you do not respond to the letter of recommendation, that there's hell in store. And we have several accounts of people who died and went to hell and lifted up their voice and lifted up their eyes being in torments. You see, God leaves that free will choice to you. Even though he says, listen, this is my beloved son, hear him, because the only way that one's going to heaven is through Jesus Christ. You say, well, preacher, I've been taught something different. Well, you need to go out and read the Bible. Because when you read the Bible, you'll find it's only Jesus. It's only Jesus. That's it. Now, may I say, you'll also, as a believer this morning, you'll find in this letter of recommendation that living for Jesus has favor and blessings connected with it. Wait a minute now. Both now and later. That's how wonderful God is. He said, not only will I show you favor in this life, I'll show you favor later as well. I can double up. Say, man, you want to double up, preacher? You bet. You bet I do. I'm here to tell you, you know where I found all that? Letter of recommendation. Have you ever noticed in Scripture that although the recommendation is made in Scripture many times, have you noticed how often God uses the word should? You ever notice that? He didn't say that you would. He just said you should. Why? Because he's recommending that, you know what? Here's heaven, all the beauty of it. And matter of fact, he paints a pretty good picture of what's in store for you. Why would a person read that and not want that? That's the reason he uses in Scripture many times, he uses the word should, which means, you know what? You've got the information. Now it's up to you. This is the best way to go, but it's still up to you whether you go that way or not go that way. I'm just here to tell you this morning that this letter, to whom it may concern, is a letter of redemption. It's a letter of recommendation. But may I say also to you that it's a letter that reveals. Take your Bible, if you would, go to 1 Corinthians 2. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know why a lot of people don't like to read the Bible? Because it reveals. It reveals some things that, unfortunately, a lot of us, we don't like to look at. Are you there? 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 2, 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto who? Unto us by what? His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. You see, the Word of God, the letter, is not only a letter of redemption. You must be saved if you're going to heaven. You must come the way of Christ if you're going to heaven. The recommendation is, it's Jesus only. And once we get saved, live for Jesus. It has favor and blessings. But that's up to us. That's up to us whether we're going to live for the Lord or not. And then I come to this now where I find in Scripture that it's a letter that reveals. It opens up. Can I say to you, first of all, one of the things that I see all throughout the Bible that it reveals the love of God. It reveals the love of God. Hey, listen, I find it right in the very beginning in Genesis chapter 3 where it tells us about the redemption plan that God set to save our soul. That's how much He cares for us. He loves us. He desires to have a relationship. He wants that relationship to be restored this morning. I'm telling you, it reveals, the letter reveals God's love. When my wife and I were dating, now you got to understand, we weren't saved at this time. So I would write little notes. You know what I'm talking about, Brother Wilson? Danny? I know because he's laughing back there. He knows what I'm talking about. You write these little notes, you know, and you do all this, you know, kinky stuff on there, and you write notes. And you know what you're doing? You're writing down, I love you, you know, all this kind of stuff. That's for unsaved people. Okay? We don't believe in that kind of stuff here. But I was lost. And I'd write these notes. And you know what? And I would pass it to my wife. You know what? She would read those. What I was trying to do was reveal my love. And I'd write notes and letters and things, except I didn't address them to whom it may concern. I addressed them to her specifically. You see, what I'm saying to you is this book, this letter, it reveals the love of God. Anybody here ever had numerous chances in life? Anybody here today and you say, I'm here, preacher, because God gave me another chance at life. You see that book right there? That's what the letter says. The letter says, for God so loved. He didn't just love, He loved beyond your comprehension. He so loved. You see, it reveals the love of God. May I say that it also reveals God's grace and mercy. Anybody ever experienced either one of those? Grace and mercy. May I say that the reason that you're breathing today is by the grace of God. He's allowing you to breathe today. He's allowing you to suck in this wonderful polluted air that we have to breathe. But when I say to you, this book reveals the grace of God. Listen, he uses words like long-suffering. You say, where'd you find that? I found that in the letter. Yeah, I found it in the letter to whom it may concern, which happened to be me. I found that he's long-suffering to usward. You know how many opportunities I had to be saved before I actually came and got saved? Probably more than I deserved. I had people give me opportunity to be saved numerous times prior to that. God is my witness. I remember the night the invitation was given on that Sunday night. It was God, listen, God might as well have had a trumpet sound with these words. It's now or never. Because I had been given time and time and time and time and time. You know what I did? I rejected it. And the Holy Ghost of God, just as though as I'm speaking to you, said, Mister, it's now or never. And so help me, those words had not crossed my mind until somebody tapped me on the shoulder. And these words came out of this dear lady's mouth. I'll watch the baby if you want to go forward. You know, God might as well just told me that, because He just told me in my spirit, and then He used a lady that was sitting behind me, my 5-year-old daughter at that time, who's now 31. Amen. 31. And she was 5 at the time, and she was sacked out. Kind of like some of you right now. Just sacked out. But she tapped me on the shoulder and said, I'll watch the baby if you want to go forward. And she said that. The Spirit of God said that. And I thought, you know what? I think somebody's trying to get my attention. You see, it was that to whom it may concern. To whom it may concern. You see, it reveals God's grace and mercy. May I say also that in this book, it also reveals the holiness of God. Do you know God is holy? Now the thing about it, isn't it amazing where it says God is holy and we're to be holy because He is as a child of God. That means we're supposed to be revealing before a lost world the holiness, the separated life of a Christian. That's how we're supposed to be living. I hunt. I have camouflage. Do you know there's a reason that you wear camo out? Because you don't want those in the woods or what you're hunting to know they're being hunted. So you camo up to throw them off. And I'm here to tell you this morning that you know something? The Holy Ghost of God, He's not trying to play hide and seek with salvation. God's not trying to play hide and seek with His will. You see, this reveals the holiness of God. The world needs to know who we are. Folks, we don't need to try to camo up like the world. We're to come out and be separate, saith the Lord. You know where I found that? Found it in the letter. It revealed it to me. And that's the reason I decided, you know what? It's time to separate from the world. Goodbye, friends. Goodbye, world. Goodbye. You know what the world did for me? Nothing good. Nothing good. May I remind you what the world did to me? Everything bad. You see, it reveals the holiness of God. But may I say lastly this morning, it reveals the judgment of God. You know, when you get finished, right down at the end, you know how at the end of a letter when you read it, you know, they kind of sign off. You know, well, I better let you go for now. Time to move on. Got to let you go. May I say to you, and I want you to understand where I'm coming from. If you're here this morning without Jesus Christ, may I say to you that if you die without Christ, the letter says, I got to let you go. I got to let you go for now. Never to be seen again until you meet me at that great white throne. And then I'll have to let you go forever. Say, where'd you find that, preacher? Found it in the letter. It was in the letter. The letter tells us that if a person is without God, He says, to whom it may concern, whosoever, Revelation 20 verse 15 says, was not found written in the book of life, was cast into the lake of fire. I don't want that for you, and God doesn't want that for you. The letter says, you know what, to whom it may concern, you come today, it's a letter of redemption. It's a letter of recommendation. It's Jesus only. But it's also a letter of revealing of what your eternity is without Christ. But let me make one comment to the saved this morning. If you're a child of God, may I remind you that when God saved you, He gave you the Holy Ghost of God. He gave you the Holy Ghost of God for you to propagate the gospel and for you to actually have a source of relationship and fellowship with Him. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 48, God says, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall much be required. And may I say to you, Trinity Baptist Church, on this anniversary Sunday, we've been given much. And you know what the city of Arlington, the surrounding cities, the Dallas-Fort Worth area expects of Trinity Baptist Church? Much. That's what it is expecting. To whom much is given of him shall be much required. And may I say this morning to you, child of God, God has equipped you with abilities, skills, talents to be used in that local church. And may I remind you, to whom much is given, of him shall much be required. If you're sitting on some abilities and skills this morning you can use to be serving God, you need to get off those skills and give them to Christ. How do you do that? You come this morning and give them up to him. I'm just saying to you this morning, to whom it may concern, it's a letter of redemption. It's a letter of recommendation, but it's a letter of revealing. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around. How many would say this morning, preacher, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, no question about it, I've been saved, born again. If the trumpet sounds, I'm going up today. You say, that's me, preacher. No question about it. You slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. Not ashamed of it. If the trumpet sounds, I'm going up today because I'm saved, saved, saved. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. Now the heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, I'm going to simply ask this morning that you would meet with us in this invitation. Some have already been saved and need to come to be baptized. Some, Lord, this morning have attended this service and know not Christ. What I have preached to them today was the love of God, the desire of God, and His desire to restore fellowship and relationship with them through Jesus Christ. It's a letter of redemption. It's a letter of recommendation to come and receive Christ and inherit heaven and a mansion someday forever and ever. But it's also a letter of revealing that if they choose to walk out these doors today and face you in death, that letter then will reveal their eternity without God in an awful place called the lake of fire, eventually one day hell. And my desire for them, Lord, is please, please move in such a way that person, if they know not Christ, would come this morning and not leave this building without knowing Jesus. Now with heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around but me, please. Maybe there's someone here in this service this morning say, preacher, I cannot honestly say that I've been born again. I can't honestly say that if I died right where I said I'd go to heaven. But I want to know, and I need prayer. Would you pray for my soul this morning? You say, preacher, that's me. I don't know for sure that if I died, I'd go to heaven, but I want to go. Would you pray for me? How many would reach? Slip your hand up. Nobody's looking but me. Slip your hand up and say, preacher, that's me. I need to be saved. And I've thought about it. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Say, preacher, that's me. I cannot honestly say that I've been saved, but I need to be. I need to be. I've thought about it. And if the trumpet sounded, I don't think I'd go, preacher. How many would say, preacher, pray for him? Slip your hand up. Who will join this one that raised his hand? God bless you and you and you. There's three more. Who will join these four and say, preacher, that's me. Slip your hand up. Slip it up, slip it up. Say, preacher, pray for me. Anybody else like that? Anybody else? Anybody else? Say, preacher, I need to be saved. God bless you. Anybody else? Who will join these five? Anybody else? All right? There might be someone here this morning say, preacher, I've already been saved. I've accepted Christ as Savior, but I've never been scripturally baptized according to the Scriptures. I know it's the right thing to do, and I know that it comes after salvation. Say, preacher, I need to obey God. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Say, that's me. That's me. Say, preacher, I've already been saved. Need to be baptized. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Anybody else who joined this one? God bless you. Who joined these two? Three. Who's going to join these three that raised their hand? God bless you. There's a fourth one. Who's going to join these four? Say, preacher, that's me. That's me. That's me. Slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody else? Say, preacher, I've already been saved. Never been baptized. I know it's the right thing to do. And if listen, if God comes back today, I want to face Him right. I need to be baptized. Who else? Who else? Who else? All right. Then let me ask one last question. I wonder how many there might be this morning. Let's say, preacher, I need to get back reading the Word of God. I need to get back and get into the Word of God so that I know what the letter from God says. That I know what it means. And that I know what God expects of me as a believer. And that I know what I'm supposed to do to be separate from the world, holy before God. How many this morning would say, preacher, would you pray for me? I need to get back in the book. I need to get back reading the letter of God so that I can live the right life that I'm supposed to be living as a child of God. How many would say, preacher, that's me? Why don't you slip your hand up and say, I need to get back in the book. Need to get in the book. Need to get in the book. Need to get in the book. All right, God bless you. You can put your hands down. The Father, my desire this morning was simply this, just to try to communicate a letter called the Scriptures, the Word of God, the Bible, and just kind of condense it, Lord, in a generalized sense to help this congregation, that we might see that it's a letter of redemption from cover to cover. It talks about the redeeming plan of Almighty God. But it's also a letter of recommendation. That, Lord, you lay out there for us heaven as our home, a mansion in heaven, forever with the Lord, streets of gold, joy, peace, immortality, incorruptibleness. And that's, Lord, what you have for those who will come to Christ. And they can miss hell altogether. But it's also a letter that reveals, it reveals to us, Lord, where we are right now in our life, our condition. And that many had raised their hand and said that their life is not where it needs to be and they need to get back in the book. And I pray that they would this morning. There might be some here this morning, Lord, that you sent to this church seeking a place, a church home, a place to serve. And if they believe in their heart that this is your will, that they likewise would come this morning to join with us, to serve God through this local church from this day forward. Now, Lord, bless this invitation, and we'll give you the glory for it in the wonderful name of Jesus. Now, with heads bowed, eyes closed, would you stand with me? I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. And as he begins to sing, if you raise your hand and say, preacher, that's me. I need the Lord. Come on. Come on. You say, that's me. You slip your hand up. Come on. Come on. We've got some men that will be glad to show you. We've got ladies that will be glad to show you here this morning what you have to do to be saved. Some of you raise your hand and say, preacher, I need to be baptized. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come this morning? Whatever your need is, you come. Some raise your hand and say, preacher, I need to get back in the book. Would you come this morning and rededicate your life to staying in the Word of God?
Turn your heart.
Whatever your need is, you come. Come on. Come on. This is your opportunity. Don't leave. Don't leave. God has sent you here this morning, if for nothing else, but for me to try to communicate with you the letter of God. Would you come? Would you come? Whatever your need is, you come.
Of his glory and grace.
Say, preacher.